Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Walt Disney World has added two very interesting new VIP tours that we're going to talk about. They've also extended hours on several dates for the rest of the year. We're going to have a little discussion on that. Hollywood Studios is beefing up its offerings this summer with tie-ins to Frozen, and we're going to tell you how you could win a three-day, two-night stay at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. Plus, we're also going to have the top 10 threads from Disports.com for the month of June. And a little later, Dustin will have the next installment in his Best Of series. This week, it's Best Ride Vehicles, Best Animatronics, and Best Storylines for an Attraction. All that coming up from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 717 for the week of July 1st, 2014. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, John Magi, Kevin Close, Teresa Eccles, Kathy Whirling, and back in the production of The Supremes, our producer, Dustin West, associate producers, Craig Williams, and Sean Thompson.
Effie, we all got pain.
couple things in housekeeping that I want to mention. I'm going to start off with a small rant. Every week on the show, in housekeeping, we remind everybody about the upcoming Give Kids the World meets that are taking place around the country and now in Canada. And every so often, I will get a complaint. We're tired of hearing about the meets. Then don't listen to the show. We're raising money for charity. You actually have a problem with that. There's something wrong with you, not me. So we're going to keep mentioning these on every show to try and get as many people to show up for these meets as we can to raise as much money as humanly possible for an organization that does amazing work helping sick children come to Orlando. So if you have a problem with that, go talk to a psychiatrist, but stop sending me your damn emails. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. We're going to do these every week. With that said, upcoming, Nova Scotia, August 8th through the 10th. Indianapolis on September 6th, New England October 3rd through the 5th, Arizona October 24th through the 26th, and Delaware November 7th through the 9th. I'm so happy we have had so many of these meets this year. By far, this is, I think, the biggest year in terms of the number of meets that have been done, and I'm really proud of the community for pulling together. I'm still kind of amazed with Hershey and the incredible job they did their first time out, $8,000, really impressive.
And not only the amount of money that they raised for a first time, I mean, these guys put on a heck of an event for folks that had not done it before, and it was outstanding. It really was, in my opinion.
Besides the obvious thing of raising money, which is our cause, I think it's great that it brings people together and forges friendships.
It does.
It gives people a chance to meet and get to know each other, and, you know, I think that's kind of cool.
And I know that's true for every one of us. We've all made friends and met people at these meets.
Definitely.
That have become very, very good friends.
John hasn't.
No, John hasn't. That's right. John doesn't make friends.
Doesn't have the ability.
But we'll have a link in the show notes page. We'll have a link in the show notes page to where you can find information on all these meets on the Diz Unplugged forum at disboards.com. So if you can, if you're in the area, please come out, help support, give kids the world, meet fellow Dizzers, meet the team, because the team shows up at least most members of the team show up at every one of these. And we're really excited about it going forward the rest of the year. So disunplugged.com, you'll find links to that and everything we talk about on the show on our show notes page. In the Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged, which comes out this Thursday, Tony has a review of downtown Anaheim's Umami Burger.
Umami.
Never heard of it. And Tom chats with Scott Bruce, who appears at the Tomorrowland Terrace in a tribute to the king of rock and roll.
He's Elvis impersonator.
So he's got an Elvis impersonator on the show.
Oh, man. I might have to watch that one.
Well, listen, because they don't do video.
Oh, listen, that's right. Okay.
You can close your eyes and picture.
Yeah, I will. I'll draw pictures on the.
I want Tom to do an Elvis impersonation. Really like to see that. So that's coming up this Thursday, disunplugged.com, and you can subscribe to their show on iTunes as well. So we also, in speaking about Give Kids the World, got an email this week from John Aliquo, I believe. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. John writes, podcast team, I love the show, listen every week, and just wanted to bring up a neat opportunity for any Amazon shoppers to donate to Give Kids the World. If you shop on the newly created smile.amazon.com, for every purchase you make, Amazon donates 0.5% of the total purchase price to the charity of your choice. There are tons of charities to choose from, and Give Kids the World is on the list. As far as I can tell, all of the prices are the same, and it's the same selection of everything that Amazon offers. You just need to enter the site at smile.amazon.com rather than the normal amazon.com. Easy way to donate to a great cause without even thinking about it. Right. I already have. Thanks for the work you do. Sincerely, John Aliquo.
That's cool. Can I add one more thing to the end of this? Someone asked me recently, in person, that is, if their company does a match, a donation match, can it go to our Give Kids the World Fund? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Of course,
yes.
Absolutely.
So if you know, that might be something your company offers that you're not aware of, so you ought to find out. And if you make a donation, they will match the donation.
And, Amazon, I've used this, the smile.amazon.com. I use that all the time because I use Amazon all the time. I
used to love going to the mall. I now find that I'm a shopper in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, it's just there are some things like, this week I'm getting ready to go away and some things I need to get. I'm not going to get out to the store. So, I've got Amazon Prime, so it's free 2-day delivery. Place your order. You have it in a couple days and their shipping is pretty much flawless. And I never have a problem with it. And now I've started getting like household stuff, I need to get that. And I don't always find everything I want at a Publix.
He's become Edie Beal.
He's going to be one of these people who gets food delivered now.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be absolutely okay with that. So another great way to help raise money for Give Kids the World, just doing something you do normally anyway. So smile.amazon.com and select Give Kids the World as your charity. 0.5% of everything you buy goes to Give Kids the World. Anything else in housekeeping?
I just wanted to thank all the listeners that I got to meet at Kevin John's event over the weekend.
I'm so sorry I wasn't able to make it out there for that. How did it go?
It went really well, and I think according to Kevin John, I think everything pretty much sold out.
Awesome.
I cannot help when I hear his name to think you're talking about us. And it just it takes me a second to figure it out. And you
Does
think,
it creep you out too?
Well, no, it's just like, I didn't do anything this weekend. What was that?
Well, you think it's like Brangelina?
When I first friended him on Facebook, I thought it was you two checking up on everybody. I said, Kevin John, that's really Kevin and John. It kind of freaked me out.
Yeah. Okay. You got that one right.
Yeah.
But it was, it was just really strange. I was there to see Kevin John, and I ended up meeting all kind of listeners. And little kids that say, oh, I watch you. And I'm like, oh, that's, sometimes you're like, wow, people really do watch us.
Well, Kevin John's going to be a guest on the show for a couple of episodes while Dustin and I are in California. Or, excuse me, Hawaii. What is wrong with me? John and Kevin are going to be in California. And then you got family in, so might be a little dicey you guys
be
being here.
There for a while, but we're going to try.
So Kevin John's going to be here for a couple episodes. I think he's actually here next week.
Yes.
So. Depending on how it works out, you might get just me after we get back from California.
However, we understand. You have family in from out of town. It's tough. So, all good. But, all right, anything else for housekeeping?
Happy Canada Day.
Is it Canada Day?
I wore my Canada outfit today.
Well, then, happy Canada Day to our Canadian listeners. Love the Canadians. John doesn't. I do.
I like some of them. All right, one.
All right, now, as we mentioned last week, our poll for the rest of the month is going to be just telling us what your favorite moments from the past 8 years of our show have been, because on the 29th, our show on the 29th, we'll have our 8-year anniversary, and we're going to talk about some of the things that you guys responded to and that you liked, and we're going to share some of ours. So head out to facebook.com/disunplugged and you know, enter in the poll. And as I said, we're going to keep, even though we're keeping that poll going for several weeks, we are still going to pull random winners every week. And this week, it is Amanda Ober is the winner. So she gets a $50 Disney gift card.
Yay.
Yay. Yay. And it's, but also Dustin is going to be putting up polls this week in conjunction with his segment. He's doing his bracket series again, the best of. So you're going to be able to vote on your choices for best ride vehicle, best animatronic, and best storyline. And, you know, you and I ended up having a very interesting conversation about these things the other night when you were working on this.
Well, yeah, when I first came up with the idea of these bracket shows, it's kind of like, okay, we're just going to decide, we're going to move on, and how is that going to spark conversation? But me and you got, just the two of us got into a conversation about it.
And the last one did really well, too. I was surprised, because I thought, like, when you came up with the idea, I was like, okay.
Folks seem to like it. Now, for like you mentioned with the polls, it is a series of polls, so if you like our Facebook page, you'll see those come up, and it'll be a series first round with all the options. Then once we knock out some of those, we'll have the next round, and then we'll have the winners. So, and then those results will be revealed next week on our new show, and we'll see how we match up versus the folks on Facebook.
There you go.
I keep getting the same question for our favorite moments and people voting, and they want to know if they'll ever get a chance to hear it again. I'm not even saying it.
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a moment of weakness, but probably not.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't
about.
Even know that I have it anymore.
Oh, I think it's out there. I'm sure there are people who still have a copy of it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
I'm closing my email that week.
All right, so that is going to do it for housekeeping. We're going to move on to Johnny with the news.
All right, our first news story. Park hours extended for Walt Disney World parks through the end of the year. Changes have been made to many park hours from July on to the end of this year. In the Magic Kingdom, many days' regular operating hours have been extended. Evening extra magic hours have been moved to different days, and there will be additional Main Street electrical parade performances. At Hollywood Studios, on many days, regular operating hours have also been extended. Fantasmic shows have been added, and there are changes to extra magic hour days. Animal Kingdom, changes to morning extra magic hours. And again, regular days have been extended, and there's no changes at Epcot. So obviously, this is a function of how busy the parks are, for sure. This is something that they're expecting a lot of crowds this summer, and but usually you don't see it through the end of the year.
You don't see it like this. That's one of the reasons I suggested this as a news story, was that I don't remember a time when midway through the year they've made this many adjustments to the calendar. And the other thing that has me like kind of interested is that, and this is anecdotal, this is not, you know, we haven't done any research on this, but when I'm talking to people who are in the parks, and I think Dustin, you said this yesterday, I've heard it from other people, that it's not as crowded as they thought it would be. Certain days, certain times it is, but you know, I wonder what exactly is something's up here.
You talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they had those stay all night parties, I forget what they're called. But is this, do you think this could be a test towards?
I was thinking that too.
I've been saying
that.
But
don't
you
think it's weird that they did this at the same time they're limiting the hours of the monorail?
The monorail's a test. But I think that we're seeing now Magic Kingdom open till midnight, 1 a.m. This is now, they're seeing how late night crowds are. People are going to relax to be
get your fast passes for 3 a.m.
Right.
Well, I think that if they're going to move to that extended overnight type model, this is how they'd have to do it. They'd have to kind of do it piecemeal. It's okay if we stay open till 1 a.m. more regularly, not just on like the craziest of days, but if we stay open to 1 a.m. more regularly, how many people are actually here? How many people take advantage of it? And then, you know, if that's working, then maybe move it to 2 or 3 a.m.
I think they're also, now that everybody's making their plans in advance, I think Disney has more information to work with, too.
That's a good point.
Than what they used to have.
This might be an effect of, you know, kind of really pushing everyone into my Magic Plus or my Disney experience to have to book everything out, so they do have a lot more information.
I will tell you, I was at both Hollywood Studios and Epcot yesterday, but I spent most of my time at Hollywood Studios. And Hollywood Studios had their Extra Magic Hour evenings day yesterday. Typically, that's a more busy day. People tend to go there during the day because they know they're going to stay later. And it wasn't that crowded at all. The other thing I noticed...
But there was a 40-minute line for Great Movie Ride.
There was a 40-minute ride for...
It's a sign of the apocalypse. It's a sign of the apocalypse.
And I think that had most to do with the imminent rain that was coming in. But two things I noticed. In the middle, or at the end of June, beginning of July, it wasn't those crazy summer crowds. And what I was also seeing was that the lines for the FastPass Plus kiosks, where the cast members stand there with like iPads and stuff like that to help you out, those weren't as long as when
we've
it originally started. So it's all kind of died down a little bit. And I don't think it's because there are less crowds. I think it's everything is running a little more efficiently now than it was.
Could be.
That's my opinion.
I got to tell you, it depends on who you talk to. We get good feedback. But we have seen somebody, Mike Holland was just here, and the nightmare stories he's been telling about FastPass Plus.
They made all of their FastPasses in advance, and they were for noon, for the mine train. And at some point during the day, it switched till midnight. And they went to guest services, and they were told that train is booked through August. That's what cast members are telling them. And I think the only reason they agreed to just go away is because we were having, you know, our afternoon monsoon. It was coming. But we've heard this before. It's switching. And the cast members are, like, not going to do anything about it. They're just not helpful. So, I don't know.
Well, do they go to guest services or do they go to one of the kiosks?
Guest services.
What we're hearing is that when they go to guest services, they're getting that kind of response. But the guys at the kiosk, the cast members at the kiosks, seem to be a little bit more willing to help. But it's, I mean, obviously, there are still things they're working out with my
Disney
experience.
It seems the biggest problem is that app. It seems everybody who comes back complains about one point or another the app crashing.
The app doesn't work. Yeah, I've had that problem
too. That seems to be really the big thing. And I think that's what people get frustrated about, is because they think that on the fly they can do stuff.
They were much more gracious about it than I was, than I would be.
Yeah.
And I don't foresee myself ever being able to ride the mine train. I'm 6'5", and everybody keeps telling me they're really small seats.
They are small seats.
So it's not something that I would even be concerned about, and I live here, so I could come back. But I think to myself, if you're funneling me into using this, and then there's a problem with it, I think I need a better response than, well, sorry.
Well, we're also, you know, in researching the top 10 threads for June this month, the number of threads that have people coming back saying, I don't think I'm going back again because it was crazy. It was the app didn't work. We had problems with our FastPass Plus reservations, things like that. Seeing that, especially in the theme parks board, there's a lot of that in the theme parks board. But then by contrast, you go over to Trip Reports. And the trip reports are, in many cases, glowing. I mean, it's so funny how negative the pre-trip stuff is and how positive the post-trip stuff is. Again, this is anecdotal. We haven't really done any, like, hardcore research on it. I don't have numbers to give you. This is just what I'm noticing. But when I saw this update about the park hours, something, and I don't know why, but just something sparked, I think, there's something else. I think there's something else coming. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad at all. But I think this is part of a larger strategy. Something else is gonna happen here. And I don't know why I feel that way, but it's happened enough times when I get that feeling that I'm usually pretty right. So pay attention. More to be revealed. I think that this expansion of the park hours, the adding of parades... we're going to be talking about what they're doing at Hollywood Studios this summer, which I think is brilliant. I'm very interested to see how this shakes out. But very interested that they've expanded these hours the way they have.
I realized I've just turned into a crotchety old man as far as this is concerned. That's not the way I used to do it, and I don't want to do it this way now. I wanted to go back to the old way, and I realize I'm just railing against the wind. I mean, right. You know. But I think that's my... And I haven't used one yet. I've never owned a Magic Band yet. Never had one on. So I am completely without any experience at all. But to me, it just... And the automation of the monorail, it's like, wait, what happened? Where's everything going? And it just seems like it's becoming too big brother. And I realize, again, I'm overreacting and I'm being a crotchety old man. So no one needs to tell me that. I got it. But that's See, kind of...
And, you know, from my standpoint, having used the Magic Bands quite a bit, having used the app quite a bit, stayed on property a lot with them, I love it. I got to be honest with you. I love it. I love it for a day trip with my family when I can go ahead and set up the three fast passes for the day and make my dining reservations. And a lot of times I'm doing this a week out, not even, and we pretty much are able to get what we want. We're not doing it over the summer because can't take my mom into the parks when it's this hot. So I don't know about over the summer, but at least three occasions between March and May, we did this and we had no trouble getting decent dining reservations. We're not getting Be Our Guest, but you know, we've had no trouble getting the attractions. My 11-year-old niece wanted to get on. I was able to manage everything through the app for the most part without any problems. Now, I realize this is just my experience. Other people have had issues. I'm just saying, this is my experience. And I got to tell you, I think it makes, when I have the day planned out like that, we just can kind of go in and enjoy it and know, okay, it's 2 o'clock. We need to be working our way over to this. And we stop along the way and, you know, I don't know. It's worked out really good for us. And even when we've toured as, you know, quote unquote, vacationers, we've been on property for an extended period of time and planned it out in advance. For me, it has made a better experience.
I would also say, since I'm the person who updates the park hours, every month, about the middle of the month, they do update park hours, and based on demand or whatever is when they'd add an extra parade or... So I think what Disney has to step up their game to, because now people are planning 6 months out. So where it used to be okay for them to say, oh, next month let's add some Fantasmics in there, they've got people now that want to lock that Fantasmic in.
Well, what you're saying, though, is that it's not – people have always planned that far out. It's now Disney has something to quantify it.
Right.
And say, oh, look, this is how many people are coming here on this day because we have X number of fast passes or right. X number of dining reservations, and they're able to react further out. If this is a result of FastPass Plus and Magic Bands, this is great. This is terrific.
The one thing we do hear people complaining about on the boards is that they've changed some of the extra magic hour days.
Yes.
And that has screwed up a lot of people's plans. That they're going to have to watch.
Yes.
They're going to have to watch that. People are kind of, people are expecting these extra magic hours to happen on certain days, and then you go around and change them.
It would be nice if Disney said, like, the 15th of every month, if there's going to be a change, this is when we're going to do it. I don't know that Disney's ever going to get to that point so that, you know, you might have a better idea of how things are going to be for your month, but there's always going to be times that you make plans and then Disney changes it. Because that happens even the day of when they see that a park is busy, they might extend the park hours for an hour or two.
Right. Yeah, we've seen that happen like in real time, like in the middle of the day, they make an announcement. We're adding another Fantasmic and keeping the park open 3 more hours. I had that happen a few times.
So. I think it's interesting that Le Cellier is no longer the chant that it's going to ruin your vacation if you can't get a reservation. Now it's Be Our Guest.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, by moving Le Cellier to 2 table service credits, it really cooled off the... I'll tell you, I have seen Le Cellier come up within 3 days of wanting the reservation. I have seen Le Cellier come up for lunch and dinner more in this year than I have in years. It's become a lot easier to get. Almost every time I look, if I know I'm going to be over in Epcot and I want to look for lunch, almost every time I've gone to look for reservations, Le Cellier has been available.
You know, another one that I bet you there's more availability to is Ohana. because they changed their menu and took the chicken on the skewers off. Ohana's not as big a deal as it used to be either.
Hmm.
What happens if they started to do this and they started to extend their hours and made like a fourth meal? I mean, we already have it. We call it Linner.
That
it's
would
between
be nice.
Lunch and dinner. No, but I mean, like, what if at like 2 a.m. they've added, like, you could have another meal?
I'd never leave the park.
Wouldn't that be great?
Because that's when I eat my big meal. Is like
think about the
snackage. That would be nice.
Think of the revenue they could get
from
it, and think of the people who would do that, because maybe that's their opportunity to get Be Our Guest or something. I realize it wouldn't work for people with small children.
I don't know that there's enough people that will stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning to eat a meal.
They're called people who go to Taco Bell for fourth meal.
But are those people at Disney World?
I don't think so.
You know, that's the running.
The things that make people go to Taco Bell at 3 a.m. are illegal in Disney World.
All right, let's move on.
Our second news story: two new tours added to Walt Disney World. At Walt Disney World. There'll be two new VIP tour experiences at Walt Disney World Resort aimed at getting on the most rides possible. The first one is called the Ultimate Day of Thrills. It's a VIP tour experience that will last 6 to 7 hours and give you access to thrill rides at Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. The tour starts at the Magic Kingdom, where guests will ride Big Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Haunted Mansion, and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Up next is a table service lunch at one of the Disney resorts. After lunch, head over to Hollywood Studios for Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, and Star Tours. Animal Kingdom will be the last stop on the tour for Expedition Everest. The cost
and dinosaur.
Oh, and dinosaur. The cost is $299 per person and includes lunch. On both of these, there's going to be DVC, Disney Visa, and annual pass holder discounts available. The second one is called the Ultimate Day for Young Families. For this VIP tour, it's designed for families with children under the age of 10. Start out in the Magic Kingdom for Magic Carpets of Aladdin, It's a Small World, Peter Pan Flight, Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, Dumbo the Flying Elephant, The Barnstormer, Tomorrowland Speedway, Buzz Lightyear, Space Laser Spin. I can get you guys on all of this for $10. Just in case, come with me and I can get you on all of these. Next up is table service at one of the Disney resorts. After lunch, head to Hollywood Studios for a showing of Disney Junior Live, ride Toy Story Mania, and then on to Animal Kingdom, where your last stop will include performance of Festival of the Lion King and a ride on Kilimanjaro Safaris.
And again, $2.99 per person with
all
lunch.
That for you, one in one day?
Are you exhausted just hearing me talk about it?
Do you remember the people who were giving tours with their handicapped accessible pass?
Yep.
Disney's found a way to sell that.
Mm-hmm. No, you know what?
People want that.
You had mentioned this. In email to us when this came out, that they were kicking people out of the park for doing this, for paying handicapped people to get them onto these rides. And now Disney is doing the exact same thing and charging $300 a person for it. There is an argument also to be made that you should be able to get on these things without having to spend $300 a person in addition to what you're already spending for your passes for the week. Now, I mean, do you need park admission with these? Do we know?
From everything I've heard, yeah, you also have to have a park hopper because you're going through the turnstiles at different places. You're not always being dropped off backstage.
I've got a couple clients. That second one is going to be absolutely perfect, though.
You can hire a VIP tour guide for almost...
Yeah, but this guarantees you, I believe these guarantee you front of the line. You just walk right onto
all
the
rides. All those rides?
Front of the line, and these are specific rides.
These are $2.99 a person.
Right, so for a family of four, you're talking $1,200
in addition
for one day.
To a $100 ticket.
In addition to the ticket.
You get lunch at Whispering Canyon Cafe.
Woohoo!
That's worth that. $1,200.
You know, I think for a wealthy family.
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Well, for the New York women who were hiring these handicapped tour guides to get on the ride, this is how the 1% vacation is what one of them was quoted saying to the New York Times.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Then this, you know, this might be for you, but I don't know how I really, there's a part of me that's intrigued by it. There's a part of me that says, hey, you know, maybe I would want to try this out, but I'm not sending a family of four to do this.
No. Here's my opinion on it.
Darn. I wanted to try it out for you.
No, what I'm saying is if I wanted to do this for myself as a, you know, to have an experience, I'm not having to spend $1,200 right. per se. I don't know. I think if I don't know that that would be worth it.
And if they find out this is true and this works, how long do you think it'll be before you're going to have premium FastPass Plus?
Oh, I think irrespective. I think irrespective, it's going to go that way.
That you're going to start paying for this stuff when Disney sees that they can make money at it. And, you know, the people who were so upset about these people selling, you know, using their handicapped accessible passes to get people on rides. Well, now Disney's doing it. And I understand it's their business. It's their property. It's their rides. But it's the same thing, in my opinion. You're selling access to somebody. And why are those people, other than the fact that they have the money to do it, you know, there goes any egalitarianism at Disney.
But yeah, but Disney's a business. Right. It is what it is.
Absolutely. I
mean, they see a chance to make money on something, and if it works, it works. Look at VIP
part
tours.
Of the right, but part of, that's a different thing. That allows you places where the public can't go. These are tours. These are things that are allowing you to get in front of somebody, going to a place where people can go. And I think what happens is, I think one of the things that people loved about Disney is everyone felt special at Disney. Well, now if you have enough money, you can feel specialer.
Well, exactly.
But that's true everywhere. That's true everywhere in the world.
It wasn't at Disney.
You know?
It wasn't at Disney. Once you were inside the gate, you were a guest. This is a different level of guest now.
My opinion on it is that, you know what, if this, in the grand scheme of things, and I think that it won't affect, you know, a normal guest experience, because how many people are really going to get this? How many people are you going to see on your vacation cut in front of you because they have a VIP tour guide and that they've paid however many $100 to get?
Well, do we know, first of all, do we know if these guests are being backdoored or are they going through the FastPass line?
It's the same as a VIP tour. So
they're
it's,
being backdoored.
Yeah, it's the same as if they would just do it themselves personally and hire a tour guide. But
so we're not going to know that they're there, right?
No, it depends on the ride, because sometimes you see that guide come up and stop the line and people walk off the ride.
I thought that with, and I could be wrong here, but I thought with the VIP tours that you weren't backdoored, that they just knew when to take you to different rides, but that there was nothing unusual or special going on there.
In my experience, working at a couple attractions that have FastPass, what would happen would be the VIP tour guides themselves would not have a fast pass in hand, but they would come up to the cast member and they would say, "Hey, I've got a family of six. Can you let us in?" And we'd go, "Yeah, sure." And then once they get up to the merge point where they collect the fast passes, and this is when the old fast pass system was in place, they'd say, "Hey, can you let us in?" "Yeah, sure. No big deal." You know, some attractions do have back doors, especially a lot of the shows. They can backdoor them in and get them seated before everybody else. But on attractions with fast passes, it's usually just cast member to cast member saying, "Hey, help me out here." That's usually how it works.
Okay. Interesting. Well, you know what? I think we should send a few people out to do these tours and come back and report. What? But not Teresa.
See, I don't think, in my opinion, the fact that Disney's doing it doesn't offend me. Disney's going to find ways to make money any way they can.
It doesn't offend me either. But
I think that what really bothers me is that these things seem like this is a lot. This is three parks, all those rides, running around. I think this sounds like, this sounds like it's going to be a great experience. And I don't think people are going to enjoy it.
Let me ask you that. Is it just, is it your family or is it you and other families?
Oh, I think it's going to be other families.
So it's not just me and my little people.
Well, it's an organized tour. So it's however many people sign up for that tour.
For that
if
day.
You're a big enough family, it might just be you. Or if no one else signs up, it might just be
because that
family.
Was a laundry list of rides for the morning.
What are tours usually? Like 15 people minimum?
Something like that,
yeah.
Yes,
right?
And if you have a family of four and you're willing to pay $1,200, they're going to let you go just by yourself.
And that family, if this is your once-in-a-lifetime trip, maybe that's not a lot of money.
Like I said, if you have the means,
it would make it maybe smoother for you.
Yeah,
you know.
But I think it's. I don't know. I don't know why I feel torn.
Is this $2.99 worth getting on those rides and being place to place to place?
I think that's up to the individual, depending on, you know, their resources, their priorities. It's hard to say what's worth it or not to other people. I guess I'm torn about whether or not it'd be worth it to me.
Yeah, because it doesn't exist in, like, it's not lessening everybody else's experiences. It's not taking away, and now you're kind of forced to make that decision. It's on top of everything else. Do you want to do this? So it does come to the individual decision in that regard.
Right. It's interesting, though.
All right, our third and final news story. New Frozen Summer Fun coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Frozen Summer Fun Live will run July 5th through September 1st, 2014 at Disney's Hollywood Studios. The celebration will include a daily character procession, sing-alongs with Anna and Elsa, a polar playground, ice skating rink, and nightly party featuring a live band. Some of the highlights, Anna and Elsa's royal welcome. Each day at 11 a.m., Anna and Elsa, riding in a horse-drawn sleigh, will travel in a royal procession down Hollywood Boulevard and do things.
Do things.
To each other?
Does it say that? And do things?
And do things. I just didn't want to read the rest. For the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration. Oh. Inside the park's premier theater, Princess Anna and Queen Elsa join the royal historians of some place for a fun and comedic retelling of the history of their kingdom.
Arendelle.
For a fun and comedic retelling of the history of their kingdom amidst projections, lighting, and special effects. More things will happen for guests.
I can see John's really excited about this.
Well, there's a lot of he wants to go sit in the theater with 1,000 people and sing Let It Go.
Really? And I could just do it in the car with
Isn't
you.
It's just Anna and Elsa, not the other little people from the...
At the end of the performances, guests might find themselves becoming honorary citizens of some place. The next fun thing that's going to happen, Wandering Oaken's Trading Post and Frozen Funland. Big summer blowout happening inside the park, Soundstage 1, where Oaken, the film's trading post owner, and his cousins have created the Frozen Funland. Blah, 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 blah. Part of the Frozen Funland will be an ice skating rink with demonstrations by some of Oaken's talented cousins on the Arendelle ice. This all just sounds like Game of Thrones to me.
So
is the Dragon Queen going to come out and fry everybody is what I want to know.
So where Darth Maul is right now for Star Wars weekends, and that soundstage is where this ice rink is going to be. So they're going to actually have like a big ice rink with ice skating.
Huh? But we can't ice skate.
Yeah.
We can ice skate. Oh, it's not like a show.
No. It's an attraction.
Oh,
There's going to be ice carvings. There's going to be other winter activities, including Do You Want to Build a Snowman area. There's going to be merchandise, hot cocoa, sweet treats. You can take pictures with all the film's characters.
And, of course, they're probably going to have that snow that has the soap in it, soap snow.
It's going to be hard to build a snowman. Yeah, it's hard to build a snowman with that.
Something else is going to go on is Coolest Summer Event Dance Party from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. each evening. A live band will take the stage to celebrate Frozen summer fun. Take along Olaf. A special feature before the fireworks, guests will have a chance to be a part of a pre-show celebration by hashtagging photos of themselves in the park with a take-along Olaf.
So they're going to have an Olaf flatty, basically, that they're going to give
take-along.
You
take him.
And you take a picture of yourself with the take-along Olaf, and you use the hashtag take-along Olaf, and they're randomly going to pick every day people that have done that and project them onto something.
Yeah, fun.
Their photos may appear on the big screen in this special pre-show.
Right.
This is actually what excites me, I think is cool. There's going to be Frozen fireworks at 9:45 p.m. each evening. The giant sorcerer Mickey Hat on Hollywood Boulevard gets the full Frozen treatment with special projections of snow and ice images in an eye-popping spectacular above Hollywood Boulevard set to the film's soundtrack. So Hollywood Studios getting nightly fireworks. That's pretty cool, right?
I'm going to say something that, you know, I think this is genius.
Me too.
I think this is positively genius what they're doing. First of all, it adds something interesting and exciting to Hollywood Studios, which is in desperate need of it. It continues this pattern that I'm seeing of them coming up with really creative ideas to do in these parks. Harambe Nights at Animal Kingdom is a great example, and the plans of what they're doing coming up in Animal Kingdom. And now you have this. We talk all the time about the 5-hour long waits to see Anna and Elsa in the Magic Kingdom. And while there's not a meet and greet, I'm not seeing a meet and greet scheduled here. saying, you know, having an alternative now where if you can't get the fast pass for Anna and Elsa in the Magic Kingdom, or you don't want to wait in that 5-hour line, now you can take your kids to Hollywood Studios and they can at least see Anna and Elsa and have these different experiences. I think this is absolutely genius, and I'm really happy that none of this is an extra
That's what I was just going to say.
That it's not a hard ticket event after park closing or anything like that. They're not trying to create another Christmas party or Halloween party here.
This, to me, is Disney legacy.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That one, in my opinion, I the way things used to be, that when there was something special, everybody got to do it. That's what I meant about, you know, it was sort of a equality system. This means anybody that wants to do it, if you have to wait in line, you have to wait in line. But everybody has an option to go do this.
I was surprised to see that for the sing-along in that theater, there isn't a fast pass. So is it going to be overflowing? Do they figure they can handle who shows up for the sing-along?
Or it's first come, first serve. Just
they might even move it to the Fantasmic Theater someday.
Yeah, who knows? How big is that theater?
It's not really all that big. But, I mean, I was surprised that in this day of fast passes that they didn't go.
There's going to be multiple performances. So
I want to go to the sing-along and the fireworks.
I want to go skating.
This is what I'm talking about is that I want to go see this stuff. You know, it's got really good broad. You know, one of the reasons Frozen, the film, is so successful is that it has broad appeal. It's not just kids. Adults love it, too. Mm-hmm. I want to go see this. I want to see these fireworks. I want to see this parade. I want to see the show. I want to see the ice rink. Not that I'm putting on ice skates, because no one needs to see that. But I absolutely think I'm excited about this. And I can't remember the last time I was excited to see something happening in Hollywood Studios.
I'm also excited that this sort of story is so popular. It isn't the typical princess story where a prince has to save a princess. And I, you know, that whole idea of love's true kiss is going to save everything. This is sisters doing it for themselves.
Right. And they break down all those tropes, you know, of falling in love at first sight.
I think that's really cool. I think it's Lilo and Stitch did this when they gave Lilo an actual little girl's body.
Yeah.
As opposed to a stick figure with a bobblehead, you know?
Just to go back to what you said, you don't know if Anna and Elsa will appear. There's a line in this that says at Oaken's Trading Post that there will be picture opportunities with characters from the film, not mentioning specific characters. So maybe
I saw something that said that if you want to see Anna and Elsa, you still need to go to Magic Kingdom. So
all right, maybe
I think they're going to still keep them over there.
If you want to do the meet and greet, yeah,
yeah.
But I think this is a phenomenal alternative for those families that don't want to wait 5 hours in line.
Anna and Elsa's welcome processional without Anna and Elsa seems a little mislabeled.
Well, like they're going to be in the parade, but they're not going to have a meet and greet.
Don't approach.
Also, this is going to be in the middle of the summer, obviously, and that ice rink, that whole building is going to be kept at like 40 degrees. So if you get hot,
that actually seems like the best idea of all. Yeah. I think they should keep this after they take the rest down.
Exactly,
just a giant refrigerator you can walk
they
into.
They should put recliners on the ice.
So that's fantastic. I'm real excited. Very, very, very excited.
Should be fun.
About that. All right, that is going to do it for the news. We are going to move on to our caption this from last week. We had a picture of Corey at California Adventure in front of a big net full of fish. This was in the Pacific Wharf area, I believe, California Adventure. And we ask you to give us your captions for this. Holly Liska, I keep telling Julie I'm a great catch.
Oh, that's cute.
Christian Frankowiak, fish are friends, not food. And Scott Flenikin, hopefully the only time we see Corey in fishnets. Now, this week, instead of a caption this, we're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to be launching now a new monthly contest where you have the opportunity to win a 3-day, 2-night stay at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. And this is very simple. This is a scavenger hunt. You're going to go to www.swandolphin.com and you're going to go find the answers to the following 3 questions. This month's questions are, where on swandolphin.com can you find the following? Quote, This tropical playground offers seasonal live entertainment, paddle boat rentals, and scheduled activities for all ages. There are also quiet areas where you can enjoy a cool drink and immerse yourself in a good book, end quote. So you have to give us the page on swandolphin.com, the URL, where that's found. Number two, what are the four signature restaurants at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin? You have to tell us each one of them. And number three, what are the hours of operation for Camp Dolphin, the children's club at the Swan and Dolphin? Now go to disunplugged.com and you'll find a link to the form where you can enter into this contest. At the end of each month, we will select one person who answered correctly, one person at random, and that person will win a 3-day, 2-night stay at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin, courtesy of the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. So all of this on disunplugged.com is where you'll find the links. And we're going to be doing a new one of these each month. This is for July. And we'll have a different one with different questions, different scavenger hunt for the Swan Dolphin in August. But so that's what we're doing this week in place of Caption This. So cool. You have a chance to win. You have a chance to win a lovely prize. 3 days, 2 nights at one of my favorite resorts. So, Swan and Dolphin, yay. All right, we're going to move on to Rapid Fire. And let's start with Johnny.
All right, mine is Winter Summerland Miniature Golf Course is going to be closed for some dates in the summer for rehab, June 30th to July 3rd, July 7th through the 11th, July 14th through the 18th. The reason why I want to mention this is because I have heard a rumor that Olaf might be coming. That it's all part of Olaf likes wants to go on summer vacation, so he might be appearing in the summer side of Winter Summerland.
Awesome. So, is that really the best picture we had of Winter Summerland?
Yes.
It's okay.
Go back. I'll see it.
What is it?
It's like
a piece of concrete and some
it's
water.
It's a shot of the grounds.
I think it's Dustin's tub.
I was hoping that one would just slide on by because I could not find.
Are you new?
Like, I couldn't find a picture of a golf ball.
You thought you were going to get this passed on?
Sorry.
But good try. You get an A for effort. All right, thank you, John. Kevin.
You think they're tired of hearing about the Diz meets? I'm going to talk about ABD again. We understand that our contracts for our 2015 Diz exclusive trips are going to be ready soon. So if you're interested, we have a huge wait line for the July trip that we talked about, the one where we go to San Francisco and LA. We don't have anything yet positive, but we still have a trip in December, and we still have our trip to Europe, which is towards the end of May. I also found out that I might have two additional seats, so I think now I'm going to have a party of four available for this coming December 2014. There's a thread on the boards if you want to see who else is going, but if you're interested in going to Disneyland for the backstage magic and seeing the Christmas decorations, we have a Diz exclusive trip December 14th through the 19th, and I believe I'm going to have more seats available than I originally thought.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin. Teresa?
Some Lanuba tickets are discounted for the summer and fall, July 1st to the 19th, July 14th, July 23rd to September, July 23rd to September 13th, September 23rd to 27th. Tickets as low as $49 plus tax, which is pretty good for Lanuba, all the way up to 104. I have to purchase some, you can purchase them 30 days in advance. So
the good news about Lanuba is there really aren't any bad seats. There's no behind the pole seating or anything like that.
It's all good, yeah. I've been several times and enjoyed it in both locations. I think it's worth it.
I want to see Teresa perform in Lanuba.
I do too.
I want to do one of the little things with the
no, you
the little
swing
girls
from something.
No, no.
Or twirl. From
I see
something.
You in a trampoline jumping into buildings.
Me too.
With that creepy dude in the no. Lanuba's odd. It's a creepy clown show, but I enjoy
creepy
it.
Creepy clown. Yeah. Thank you,
I love Lanuba. I've seen a couple of Cirque du Soleil's, and in my opinion, it's flat out the best.
Kathy?
Mine is about Harambe Nights, that premium seating is sold out for all the dates, and general seating is sold out, well, that date's past 6/28, but July 5th, if you want to go, it's sold out. But it's still a great thing to go to. Tickets are $119 for adults and $79 for kids. And it's an unlimited bar and food. if you're here and you're looking for something different to do, Harambee Nights is a great place to go to.
And it's been a huge success for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, really happy to see that. Wish I could have actually been there.
But. Yeah, me too.
So, all right. Thank you, Kathy. Dustin.
Yeah, I have some merchandise events and artist appearances and signings at Walt Disney World. Currently happening right now until July 3rd and July 24th through 27th is David Doss will be at the Downtown Disney Art of Disney. Larry Dotson will be at the Epcot Art of Disney July 1st through the 4th and will also be appearing July 17th through the 20th. July 3rd through the 6th, the Precious Moments doll designer Linda Rick will be at Once Upon a Toy. And July 4th through the 11th, Greg McCullough will be at the Art of Disney at Downtown Disney. And he's known for his graphics and graphic illustrations and merchandising illustrations for the Disney parks. And then on July 25th, celebrate Christmas in July with Disney artists Costa Alavezos, Cody Reynolds, and Derek Lorette at Disney's Days of Christmas at Downtown Disney Marketplace. So a whole bunch of different events. You can find that on the Diz.
Even if you don't recognize these names, just go to one of these because you'll definitely find something you like.
Absolutely.
It's not like, oh, I have to go to that artist.
Yeah, it's really cool to see the art on display and see the signings. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you, Dustin.
You're welcome.
Gregory.
Okay. You can save up to 30% at select Disney hotels if you book by August 8th. And then staying there, though, from August 16th to October 3rd, 2014. I mean, it's a really long list of different hotels. Some are 20%, some are 30%, some are 15%, some are 25%.
All depending on the tier.
I would have a Dreams Unlimited Travel agent actually help you.
There you go.
Like
T. Eccles at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com.
And Kathy W. at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com.
Wow, they're going to knock each other over.
Hey, no, it's for me.
It's confusing for me.
But a good discount.
It's for two adults in a room. More charges if there's more than two adults.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for the creepy add-on at the end.
So creepy.
Jonathan?
All right, so for the 4th of July week, from July 2nd through the 8th, the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Hotel is having an event called the Tap Room Takeover. And at two of their bars, at Cabana Bar and Beach Club, they are having special beers on tap that are local, some from Cigar City Brewing. There's a whole long list, Maduro, Hialeah, Cigar City Cider, Apple Pie Cider, which I'm not familiar with.
They're in Miami or Fort Lauderdale?
They're in Tampa, yeah.
Tampa.
Florida Cracker, all that stuff. But the big thing is on July 4th, they're having an event that's also a fundraiser for I lost the name of the organization. It's like Operation Homefront. It provides emergency support to military families all over the U.S. And so basically, if you buy the Homefront IPA, a section of the proceeds will go to this organization, which I think is cool.
Cool.
Yeah. And then just as a bonus, a few of the candlelight processional narrators have been announced. Jody Benson will be there from the 28th to the 29th.
Jody's going to be there right before
November.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I wonder why.
Right the before, day before. Whoopi Goldberg again. Sharon Stone is a new one.
Oh.
That's odd.
But that's a very, very, very odd choice for candlelight procession.
Is she going to be sitting down?
That's what I was thinking.
What will she be wearing?
Just trying to figure out how I can work that in, but thank you for that.
Marley Matlin's coming back, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and then a new one, which I'm most excited about, is Anna Gasteyer from
SNL.
Yeah,
I want to see that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I don't know. Having Sharon Stone could either be really good or it could be like the world's best train wreck.
You got to see Kathy Griffin do her bits on Sharon Stone. It's some funny stuff.
Funny.
So she might start reading her poetry. But all right, thank you for that, Sean. Before we close out this week, we have the top 10 threads on disboards.com for the month of June. Number 10 from the Trip Reports board, 1,200 pictures, 1,100 miles, 15 deluxe dining meals, 7 days, 6 nights, one great time at Port Orleans Resort by Alan Renfro. Number 9, have you ever been injured on a ride on the theme park's attractions and strategy boards by SD Sorority? Number 8, an interesting story. Our stroller went missing today, Gibson Trio. was the poster on theme parks attraction strategy. It was their personal stroller got stolen.
Oh, wow.
In the parks.
That'll happen.
Number seven, everybody celebrating something, no questions asked, by Ellen L. Fan on the theme parks attractions and strategies board. This was an odd thread. This person is upset that anybody can get an I'm celebrating button.
Ever since they did, they stopped the Year of a Million Dreams, and then they did the What Will You Celebrate celebration, and they created a button for literally anything that you can imagine, up into the point where they have a button for I'm celebrating blank, and you fill it in yourself. So I understand.
Which Grace has done.
But who cares? It's not like you get anything. Right. It's not like, oh, well, here, come to the front of the ride because you're celebrating your bar mitzvah.
Or you don't have to pay. You know,
it's not. Exactly. And I don't understand why. Who cares?
Yeah, I do think, though, some people.
Maybe I'm just depressed and I feel like saying I'm celebrating something and I'm going to put this button on and people are going to say happy birthday to me all day. So what?
Just say they didn't write my botched vasectomy on one. I was very, very upset.
I do think some people, though, expect by getting the button that they're going to get something.
Well, then they're going to be disappointed. You know,
they're going to get salutations from everyone except John.
Good wishes from everyone but
from
John.
The 1930s, apparently. Salutations, everyone. That was like even a bad date.
Oh, man.
Number six, also on theme parks, from Genesis. Goodbye, American Idol experience.
Yeah, goodbye.
So long.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
It was a bad idea when it started.
Yeah, exactly. On the rumors board, 12 Hollywood Studios rumors. Some of these we talked about on the show a few weeks ago, but there were some on here I hadn't heard. So that was interesting. That was by Disney Source. The number three thread last month by Gumbo 1009, Disney changes the extra magic hour schedule. We were just talking about that. That's where you can see some of the impact of those changes on people's touring. Number two is actually quite a prevalent topic right now on theme parks, and I'm kind of surprised. By Pat's Dragon, disappointed in Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Oh. People are coming back, and they are saying this ride does not live up to the hype, and they are disappointed. And I don't necessarily agree. I think it does. But Pat's Dragon writes, I was expecting lots of characters, animatronics, and there was only one scene at the very end. It won't please roller coaster fanatics, and is too scary and not interesting for children. After all the hype, what happened? Staff at Universal were laughing about it.
God, Debbie Downer.
Well, okay. First of all, staff at Universal can laugh all they want. When they actually have something there for children, they can start making comments. But people on this thread are coming from both sides. There are Mesa Boy 2, who has that phenomenal Fast Pass thread, said, you know what? Disney wasn't hyping it. We were. And he's absolutely right.
Yep.
He's absolutely right. It wasn't that Disney was necessarily hyping this any more than they would with any other attraction.
Yeah.
This was the fan community that was hyping. And I got to be honest, for me personally, I thought it lived up to it. I thought it was a fantastic ride. It was exactly what I was told it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was a family-friendly coaster. It was not going to be Expedition Everest. I thought the animatronics in it were fantastic. I don't know. I loved it, but some people apparently more than I was thinking there would be. I was kind of surprised by this, but it's all over the board.
I think it's exactly what it should be, and I think it's exactly what I expected it to be.
The only thing I've really heard is that it goes too fast. Is that people are saying, I wish it was a little bit slower, because when it comes to the details, they're missing it.
Well, I mean, the areas, through the actual mine train where the animatronics are, it slows down very nicely. It's only in the roller coastery parts that it goes fast.
Yeah.
Look, if you want a slow little ride, get on Tomorrowland Transit Authority.
Before you announce number one, can you go back and tell me what number nine was again?
Number nine was, have you ever been injured on a ride?
And could you tell me who the poster is?
SD Sorority.
That is one of the people in our chat room. I thought you would be interested to know that the person who started that thread is one of our chatterati.
Awesome. Well, hello, SD Sorority.
Her name is Anne.
Anne. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Thanks for posting that and being number 9 this month. So that's number 2, Disappointed in Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And the number 1 thread, again, for the month of June, FastPass Plus Basic Information, Mesa Boy 2. That continues to be a juggernaut thread. That is the Mesa Boy 2 is the Jess of 2014. Thread has been pretty...
He's America's sweetheart.
He's America's sweetheart. But you know what? He does an amazing job of keeping that thread up and giving some great information. This is the kind of content that I love to see on the boards, and I'm very glad to see that it's the kind of content that people are consuming on the boards. So Mesa Boy 2, congratulations again. For this month, you are the number one. You have the number one thread on disboards.com for the month of June. So that will do it for our show for this week. Coming up next, Dustin has his next series, next in the series of Best Of. This week, he is focusing on Best Ride Vehicles, Best Animatronics, and Best Storylines in an Attraction. So stay tuned for that. And I won't see you again. Don't be playing me off. This ain't the Oscars.
He wants to thank his mom and his dad.
I'm being played off my own show. Oh my god!
That's funny. That was sweet.
I'm saying goodbye because I'm not going to see these people for a month. So this is my last show until July 29th. We'll be out in Hawaii doing some work on an upcoming segment and having a little bit of vacation time in the meantime. So. Everybody have a good month. Jenny Lynn will be sitting in for me next week. So thanks very much, everybody. Have a great week. And remember, now you may play. Stay out of the damn lakes. Have a great week, everybody.